Look out now.
The ill-fated Nettle Festival was conceived as a kickoff to Reverend Ralph Fisher's tent revival for the little Church of the Ravine. "The end is near," his reader board sign announced months ahead of the scheduled event. "The South End Revival is coming." The congregation might have known what was slouching toward us, but the rest of us down here were bemused or unmused, depending on our degree of what the good reverend referred to as heathenism. South End was in mighty need of missionary work itself, he was fond of preaching, but their puny tithing went instead to saving the natives of New Guinea and East Africa. I figure they were easier to convert than us locals, who were fairly content to wallow in our puddles of iniquity. The Nettle Festival itself wasn't such a bad idea. In fact, the Tai East store tried to revive it a few intervening years after what was referred to as the tragedy. But even today, there are members of the congregation who break into sobs over their coffees when mention is made. And this is 35 years after the tragedy. I speak of it now in hushed tones and never around Mildred's family, who still live down the road. Some events in this mean old world aren't meant for sarcasm or ridicule, although you would have to admit, even the pious among you, that Reverend Ralph overdid it with the nettle maze, his labyrinth of itching hell. Stigmata wipe-off tattoos are one thing, but the nettle maze crossed the line. By the weekend of the revival, a little church had erected a tent worthy of Ringling Brothers. Churches from as far away as Cedro Woolley and Darrington had come in, converted school buses and rickety vans, hauling the believers and their children from afar and wide for a day of righteous fun and old-time religion. Pastor Philip of Pentecostal fame arrived the night before from his circuit ride and prayed with Reverend Ralph and his long-suffering wife Mildred and slept the peaceful sleep of the godly before that morning's first sermon of fire and brimstone-laden admonitions blistered the varnish off the old pulpit. By afternoon, the sun came out like a prophecy, and the festival cranked up its volume. Chainsaw carvers sent cedar chips flying, and the face of Jesus appeared in chiseled log sculpture. Stigmatic wash-off tattoos made the teenagers giggle, 666s on foreheads being by far the favorite of the boys. Glossolalia crossword puzzles didn't work out so well, but the biblical action figures of Moses in combat with John the Baptist and Jesus himself down by the fire pit were a huge hit with the younger kids. And of course, there was the nettle maze, the labyrinth of itching hell itself. Half an acre of loops and turns and dead ends so intricate not even Jimmy Randall, the church caretaker who carved the trails over the past 3 weeks, starting when the plants were 3 feet tall and he could see over them, could navigate safely. Now, of course, they were higher than the tallest man's head and impossible to survey beyond the impenetrable wall of stinging stalks that held each entrant locked in the maze. Dozens were wandering, hopelessly lost in there when a foul wind came up like the cold breath of Beelzebub himself, the one Pastor Phil of the Pentecost had predicted only half an hour earlier in fiery prose. Hell had come to the South End, or surely would arrive soon. The unsuspecting crowd had been informed, and sure enough, a mighty howl rose from the ravine like the thousand laments of the lost. The sun blotted out behind dark and treacherous clouds, and that cold wind became a tempest, and the circus tent became a shaken thing, alive and monstrous, tearing at its ropes, sending one and all running for the safety of the field, before the cords tore loose and the canvas tent set sail like an ungodly wing, flapping into the distance before it shrouded the chapel itself and caught on the belfry where it ripped itself to pieces on the steeple. Torn asunder, Reverend Ralph would tell of it for years. Torn asunder. But those inside the maze had nowhere to turn. Children and adults alike wheeled and fled down paths that went nowhere, flayed by the wind-whipped stalks of stinging death. Well, not death, literally, but who knows what went through those terrified minds besotted with brimstone stories. Their screams reached the field beyond, but what could we outsiders do except listen in horror? One by one, the survivors stumbled out into the raging storm, rashes covering their faces and hands, tears streaming down their pockmarked faces. The little chapel opened its double doors to lead these blinded sheep inside, to calm them and offer balm, to offer shelter from the storm. Pastor Philip was in seventh heaven, finding in the calamity further proof of the scriptures. He was in fine form, everyone agreed later. But it was later Reverend Ralph realized Mildred was missing. He went from person to person asking if they'd seen Mildred. No one had. A boy sporting 666 on his forehead said he'd seen her go in the maze. "Are you sure?" the congregation cried, nearly in unison. He was certain. Reverend Ralph led the search party. The wind had abated nearly as quickly as it had come up. Down at the labyrinth, the nettles had been laid down in haphazard rows as if the horn of Jericho had blown, and there, in the exact center, stood Mildred, stone still, a strange statue of a woman staring into the sky, not moving, not crying out, just frozen in time and space. "Between heaven and hell," Pastor Philip would say more than a few times in the following days. Only Reverend Ralph dared approach, and he did so with the utmost trepidation as everyone watched in dread. Mildred was never the same. Some say she wasn't quite right to begin with, but that's uncharitable. She spoke in tongues a day later. Unintelligible garble, strange utterances, ugly curses. But I've never heard that from anyone who was actually there. I do know it's hard to be with her even now. She doesn't actually engage and looks right through you while she perpetually scratches at her arms. It may be she's lost forever in that maze. It may even be, as the Bible-thumping Pastor Philip would say, we're every one of us lost in that maze.
Look out now.